Hi, this is Amherst Eclectic, and I was flitting through some articles doing some research, actually on something totally different, and I saw an article that actually said at the title, How to Perform Oral Sex Like a Pro. And this is, you know, oral sex for men. And so I thought, you know what, this could be interesting. So I haven't read the article yet. I'm just going to respond as I go through the podcast, because I thought that might be an interesting way to do this podcast. Don't read the article. Respond as I go. So here it goes. It was written in 2022, so, you know, up to date as such. Okay, they say, don't trust porn to teach you. Don't jump straight into cunnilingus. Experts say, foreplay comes first. Let's see. The Timeless Oral Sex Anthem, My Neck, My Back, by rapper Kia, includes the renowned lyric, Lick it good, suck this pussy just like you should. Okay, I'm pretty sure I actually am comfortable talking about sex, but it's just kind of funny. Some of these rapper lyrics. Okay, but those who are inexperienced or perhaps uneducated may ask, how should someone perform cunnilingus? I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce that, but, you know. The good news is there's no one way you should go down on somebody, but there are important steps. Three sex experts laid out how to best perform oral sex to a woman, from a communication to foreplay. Let's talk about oral sex, baby. Oral sex for a woman can be daunting for beginners. So if a man's doing this, he's, you know, not really sure what to do. This is why you should study, read up on it, you know, do whatever you need to do. Practice on, you know, buy a fake vagina, practice on it. I don't know. Whatever you need to do to make your partner happy. Or just continually ask questions to your partner. But, you know, I would think that would be the easiest way to do it. But here's some tips. This doctor, author of Sexpert Desire, Passion, Sensations, Intimacy, and Orgasms to Indulge in Your Best Sex Life, as it's not usually taught, but it is a matter of a trial and error. So performing oral sex on your female partner, on the vagina, is, you know, it's a learn as you go. And that's what I would think. I mean, for anybody, I think, you know, if you're giving oral sex to a man or a woman, you have to ask that individual what they like to do, how they like it. It's different for each person. I mean, I even think it's good for, you know, it's a turn on for people to watch each other masturbate, and you watch each other on either side of the bed, or you masturbate together and watch each other. But it's good for you to watch your partner masturbate, because then you can see what they like. You can see where they like to be touched, what stimulates them the most, you know, etc. So I would think it would be the same if someone is performing oral sex on you. You need to just kind of ask the person that you're performing the oral sex on what they like, what they want done, and just be honest and say, I just want to make you happy, so just tell me what you like. Anyway. Okay, so it's not usually taught, but it is a matter of trial and error. This PhD psychologist research and evaluation said, we can do better than that. Okay, let's see what they have to say. First off, talk about wanting to give or receive oral sex with your partner. Like I said, this is especially important if you're with someone new. Vulvas are unique as snowflakes. So, as I've said, everyone's body parts are unique. I've said this in past podcasts. Not everyone's the same. I mean, it's, you know, naive to think that that's true. Everyone's different. So, this is said by an ACS-certified sex educator who specializes in gender, sexuality, and relationship diversity. So when you're with a new partner, it's fair to assume you're going in blind, because everybody's different. Be willing to be flexible. This partner may like different moves than people you've been with in the past. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of guys make. They think, well, if you do it this way with one girl and she was happy, then the next person's going to be happy, right? Same thing with women. When they give oral sex, they think if they did something with one person, another person's going to like it. No. Everyone's different. Everybody has different sensitivities, different wants and needs, right? You can sext or talk in person. Having a post-coital talk may be easier to muse over what you want to try the next time. Which, that's foreplay, right? I think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people that do that before sex. They sext each other or they talk dirty to each other when they're out at dinner, or they whisper things in each other's ears. Okay. So if you sext each other and talk about what you want to do to each other, I don't know. It's a little risky doing that on your texting now that we know they read every single text that we send and the data is going up into the cloud. I don't know. But maybe you just actually talk to each other. But okay. But use some sort of code, maybe, when you're sexting each other. Okay, if you are receiving, ask what they like or say what you'd like to do with them. And that's always good if you tell somebody ahead of time what you're thinking of doing, and they can say, oh, no, I don't want to do that. So, many people with vulvas worry about their looks, smell, taste, or that they take too long to orgasm. So a lot of women get hung up on that in the first place with sex. But hopefully they're going to tell you something in this article. But if you do it the right way and you know what that person likes, they will come sooner. It may still take a little while because women take a little bit longer than men. Okay. Let's see. That's a PhD sexpert at a sex toy brand called Lilo. Is the author of Becoming Clitorate, A Tired Woman's Guide to Passionate Sex. That's a pretty good title. In terms of the former three, they attribute that to false perceptions by the media and corporations attempting to sell products that make the vagina smell like flowers. Vagina smells like vagina, okay? Receiving oral can be vulnerable for these reasons and for others. Previous bad experiences. This PhD psychologist says encourages people to have honest conversations about these fears and worries. Set boundaries, like around if or when the receiver wants to stop. Some people are a lot more sensitive, or when they start to get excited, they get more sensitive, so they may want to stop. Okay, this is imperative if the receiver is maybe an abuse survivor. Maybe something happened to them. Don't be afraid to communicate during the act. Neither givers nor receivers can read each other's minds. You can never read each other's minds. If your partner is moving their tongue ever so slightly to the left, will it get you off? Say so. If that's, that's where you're more sensitive. Okay. Oral sex education. If you want to sharpen your tongue, pun intended, you can go, you can do some research. Maybe even with your partner. Educational platforms like OMGYES and Climax provide in-depth videos on how to pleasure the vulva. So you can go to these websites. Again, that's OMGYES or Climax, CLIMAX. And of course, they're going to probably charge for that, but it might be worth it. All the experts agree, however, don't try to learn about oral sex from porn. Like, I don't understand how guys think porn is real. Porn is basically geared towards men, 99.9%, and to get you to orgasm, because, or to maybe make you take longer to orgasm, because they want you to stay online even longer so they make more money. The oral sex portrayed in porn is filmed to give the camera easy access to a view of the vulva. Generally in porn, the person giving it sticks their tongue out as far as possible, and the receiver orgasms quickly from it. In reality, the giver's face needs to be very close to the receiver's genitals, and it can take up to 45 minutes for the receiver to climax. So, yeah. There's a lot of ways someone may prefer oral licking, sucking, staying right on the clit, or paying attention to other parts of the vulva, of the area. Some people prefer licking inside the vagina or a combination of fingering and oral. Massaging the area around the clit and putting pressure on the mons pubis, the fatty tissue that lies on one's pubic bone above the vulva, can be enjoyable too. Again, this is all going to depend on who you're with and what they like and where their sensitivities are, right? A rookie mistake is to only focus on oral. Discover what your partner enjoys by talking with them or experimenting. Pay attention to what type of toys they love. If they're really into clit suckers, for example, they may love you sucking on their clit. If they love vibrators, they may rather you lap at their clit with your tongue. Or maybe a rabbit vibes are their favorite. In that case, they may go wild for fingering or oral combo. Sexpert from Men's Health. Sexpert told Men's Health to start with the flat of your tongue, as it covers more surface area. If they're into receiving pleasure right on their clit, though, they may love when you use the tip of your tongue. What do they respond to? Are they bucking up their hips or staying still and silent? Your partner's body language can say a lot about what they like, in addition to their words. You can incorporate actual vibrators and other toys as well. These can be especially helpful if the giver gets tired performing oral or fingering. Mintz recommended a couple books for accurate information on oral sex. She Comes First. That sounds like a really good book to me. She Comes First. That should be like every man's mantra. She comes first. You don't come until she comes. That should be your mantra. And then your partner will want to have sex with you all the time. Guaranteed. You want to have more sex? Make your partner come first. Every single time. Again, the other book is The Guide to Getting It On by Paul Joannides. Oh, I can't pronounce that name. It's Joan and then N-I-D-E-S. Specifically, there's a chapter on oral sex, vulvas, and honeypots. All right, getting in the mood. If either partner is concerned about cleanliness, take a shower beforehand. I have said this a million times. Before you have sex, you should take a shower. Get that nastiness off you. Men and women clean very well. Take a shower together. Have fun with it. Lather each other up. Clean each other off. That way, all of that poo, pee, sweat, bacteria is gone, and when the man puts his penis inside the woman, if they're not wearing a condom, but even if they are, you're probably going to not be getting as many infections. You know, a woman's not going to get UTIs, a man's not going to get UTIs. Yes, men get UTIs. So, and then if a woman has a UTI and a man doesn't know she has the UTI, that's another way of a man getting a UTI. And it may have been caused by the fact that they have sex. The only time I ever got a UTI is when I was having sex with somebody. And I only got it once, and that was the last time I did, because from that point on, it was about cleanliness. You know, we can have fun with being clean. Let's take a shower together before we have sex. Or in between having, you know, sex a few times. Go take a shower. Go clean yourself off. Or have wipes next to your bed. I don't know. Just clean yourself off. Okay. So if you're concerned about cleanliness, take a shower beforehand. Maybe even together. And the other thing that I suggest is, you know, just take a shower if you're going to do oral and then come right in and start oral. And maybe even put, if you've got a towel, double it up and put it underneath. If the man is doing the oral on the female, put a towel underneath her so that if any of your saliva comes out or any of her fluids come out, it comes out on the towel so you don't have a big wet spot in the middle of the bed. I mean, simple idea. I'm sure a lot of people do that. I'm sure I don't have to tell you, but some people might not think of that. Okay. Okay, then again, Ms. said, the giver may love the smell of sweat after a hard workout. This is why you have to communicate about your preferences. I don't know who would like someone to smell like sweat when they're, you know, that's kind of, I don't think, a good idea. To be sweaty and nasty and have bacteria all over you when you're doing something like that, because that's, you're going to end up with a UTI. You're going to end up with a urinary tract infection or worse. And those things can kill you if you don't know you have them. They attack your kidneys, they attack your bladder. So it's probably best to be clean. To clean the vulva, Mintz advised to separate the labia and wash between them with either water alone or mild unscented soap once a day. Don't use harsh soaps or douches as they are not good for the vaginal area. I don't know. I use soap. I've never had a problem with it. If you're shy about receiving, you can try different ways to get comfortable, like turning the lights off. So if you don't want somebody seeing your reaction to their giving you oral, you can do it in the dark if he's willing. Consider whether using protection is best for you. STIs can be transmitted through oral sex. They do make female condoms. Female condoms are just condoms that go up inside you, and they are wide enough at the bottom, at the opening, that they can cover all of your private area. So if somebody does want to give you oral, you know, you can still feel it. They can still see your sexual organ because it's a latex condom. It's a bigger condom, but with a bigger opening at the bottom. Or I guess you would call it, it's the bottom for the woman, but I guess that would be the, I don't know. Anyway, but it covers up everything and the man can still see what he's doing and he can use his tongue. I mean, and that might be preferable for some guys. If a guy is not really into doing oral, maybe you can wear a female condom and then he can give you oral that way. And then maybe he can be less grossed out about it if he is grossed out about it. Because I know that a lot of women are grossed out about giving men oral and want men to wear a condom while they're doing it. And in order to get oral, the guys will do it. You know, they'll put a condom on. If it's less gross for a woman to give them oral, they'll do whatever just so they can get oral. Most men will. Okay. So, STIs can be transmitted through oral sex. Because you're talking saliva and, liquid to liquid. You know, just like if you're having sex, you know, it's about liquids touching and passing the sexually transmitted diseases, right? So, you're not in the clear just because penetration isn't involved. If you and your partner already share bodily fluids, are fluid bonded, whatever that means, and don't use protection, then you can skip it. But, to be honest, you should always wear a condom. I mean, you never know what your partner's doing when you're not around. You could have a partner who's cheating on you, and then you don't wear a condom, and then they get HIV and then you get HIV because the person they're having sex with got HIV. So I always say, you know, you can trust your partner just so far, but you don't know what they're doing when they're not around you. And then if you find out later someone's cheated on you and that's why you got an STD, you're going to wish you'd made your partner wear a condom anyway, right? Okay. Let's see. Related stories. How to clean your sex toy, according to 3 experts. So, okay. If not, though, or say the receiver is on their period, but still wants some oral, there are several options. Dental dams. That's one of the things I was talking about. Finger condoms or latex underwear. Laurels. So, a female condom, I guess, is what you would call it looks like a dental dam. But basically, a female condom is something that goes up inside the woman if a man doesn't want to wear a condom. And that way, a woman can say, well, then I'll put a female condom on and you can go that way. So, don't jump straight to oral sex. As it's important to build arousal with other activities first, like playing with someone's breast play. You can warm up by caressing and kissing your partner on the way down. You know, have a little fun. Kissing, you know, the breast and kissing the stomach and licking and whatever. Licking and sucking. Kissing inner thighs before moving to the actual genitals is also a good move. During and after the act, just as you communicate before and after sex, you can during sex as well. Of course, right? I hope people communicate during sex. You can certainly use your words, but Reed also suggests nonverbal cues for liking or not liking something. As an example, she said, a double tap means it isn't pleasurable. Move on. A squeeze means it is good. This is where it is important to follow your partner's cues, pay attention to what they like, and practice. The fun is in the practice, right? So, you know, they say, you know, we're going to practice having babies. We're going to keep practicing until we have one. Well, same thing with oral sex. You know, practicing is fun. So keep practicing until you get it right. Always ask before adding anything new on your partner, like a finger or a toy, but don't change too much at once either. Make one change at a time and see how your partner reacts. I mean, a lot of women, when you're giving them oral, they have to concentrate. You know, they have to concentrate on feeling what you're doing, feeling where your tongue is, where your finger is, whatever. They have to concentrate. So you don't want to change things up too quickly. Unless things aren't working and you're communicating and you say, okay, well, maybe we can try something different, right? Experiment with different positions beyond the classic receiver lies on their back. The receiver can also kneel over a partner's face or sit in a chair. The latter position can be more comfortable for the giver's neck. Another way to relieve the giver's neck is to place a pillow underneath the receiver's bottom or lower back. And they've even got like styrofoam cubes and triangles and things like that that they've make specifically to have sex that you can put under yourself or you can lay on top of that makes sexual positions a little easier to achieve. Well, you could probably do that with oral sex as well. Never ever blow air into the vagina. It can cause a dangerous air embolism. Ooh, I just learned something today. I didn't know that. Some people, however, enjoy when you blow on the vulva. So don't blow into the vagina. It can cause an air embolism. Holy crap, I had no idea. If the giver has a penis and loses their erection, that's okay. Don't stop to switch to penetration. This can frustrate the receiver. Oral sex is about their pleasure, not yours. So guys, if you lose your hard-on or your erection, don't stop giving oral sex because you want to have a hard-on while you're giving oral sex. It's not about you. You know, just like when a woman gives a man oral sex, you know, it may not be exciting for her. There are many, many women who do not like giving blowjobs. but they do it for their partners because their partners enjoy it. So they're not exactly turned on by it. It doesn't mean you have to be turned on, right? You do this, you're doing this for your partner because they like to have you give them oral sex, right? Or vice versa for men. You don't need a boner to give good oral sex. And you can get it back later. Now, I don't know that any guy I've ever been with did not get really excited by giving me oral sex. Haven't met a guy yet who that didn't excite. They, you know, most, I don't know, maybe there are some men who don't like it, but I haven't met one. Know that neither you nor your partner are perfect, but you don't need to be to experience pleasure. Each partner will be different and likes softer, harder, longer, shorter, fingers, vibrators, lube, or dry. Simply just different touch for each person. Afterwards, you can have the dreamy post-coital sex talk that Reed suggests above, or you can bust out my neck, my back, whatever is the best for you. So, bust out the book. Anna Iovine is the sex and relationship reporter at Mashable. So this is the person who wrote this article. Let's see. So I think that's it. That's it for the article. So, yeah. So that's just some tips on how you can have better oral sex with your partner. You know, it's always about communication. Number one, you want to be clean. Number two, you want to communicate. And number three, try anything and everything. And try to make sure that your partner is not uncomfortable. Because if a woman's uncomfortable while you're giving your oral, or if a woman's uncomfortable while you're having sex, it's not going to be all that great for you either. To think that your partner's not enjoying themselves. You know, that's why it's not fun to have sex with someone who doesn't enjoy sex. You know, it's more fun if both you and your partner are enjoying it, right? And like I said, for me, I've never met a man who doesn't like to give oral sex or to receive oral sex. In fact, you know, they're mostly all the time really excited while they're giving me oral sex. So most guys like it and they enjoy giving it. So in order to, if you like it and you enjoy to give it, then you want your partner to enjoy what you're doing. So study up. I think these were some really good suggestions here. I think you just need to talk to your partner. Everyone is different. I just don't know that there's a book or a video or anything out there. I mean, there might be some pointers that can help you. But like they said, everybody's body is different and every person is different. It's like, you know, it's a fingerprint. You know, everyone's different. You have to talk to your partner. You have to be communicating. And if your partner's having a hard time communicating, you ask the questions. If you have a female partner that's uncomfortable with asking those questions, might have been brought up in a religious home and told that sex was awful and nasty and dirty, and then she's afraid to, you know, admit that she really wants to have sex, or if she really wants oral, maybe they were told that oral sex and masturbation were sins and they were going to go to hell for it. So they're going to be a little bit uncomfortable. Even if they want to try it, they're still going to be uncomfortable, because in the back of their head, that's all they're thinking about is how this is wrong, you know? So you kind of have to just keep communicating with your partner to make sure that they become more comfortable with it. And once they get those silly notions out of their head, and once they're willing to talk to you while it's happening and say, oh no, move to the left, move to the right, oh, do more of that, oh, that feels really good, you know, until they are willing to communicate in that way with you, just keep trying. And don't get mad if things don't go exactly the way you want it the first time, or even if she doesn't have an orgasm the first time. You know, if she wants to stop and maybe try it again later, that's okay. Be patient with each other and try to have fun with it, and try to make it fun. If you're both trying to make it fun, then it's going to be a lot more enjoyable. And just keep communicating with each other and asking each other what each other wants. That's the best advice that I can give. I've never had to read a book about it, but so. But until next time, if anybody has any questions or they might want to talk about this, let me know. Hi, I'm Mr. Eclectic, and I actually went and looked for another article, and this is actually Net Doctor. So let's see what they say about giving oral sex. How to give and receive great oral sex. What's the best way to eat pussy? Read our expert's tips on how to perfect this. We'll see if it's just, you know, some of these articles sometimes repeat themselves because somebody writes an article and just basically copies what the other article says. So we'll see. This is from doctors, so I would imagine they know the best suggestions to give people. Let's see. Licking someone out, eating someone out, going down on someone, or giving head is the fancy official term used to describe when someone uses their mouth to simulate someone else's vulva or vagina. While many women and vulvo-having people love oral sex because it focuses heavily on stimulating the clitoris and therefore is more likely to make them orgasm, between 70 to 80% of women need clitoral stimulation to climax. Remember that, men! Many also feel self-conscious about receiving it. Here's an expert guide to oral sex for women, including a step-by-step guide on how to give and receive oral pleasure, plus the all-important STI and sexual health risks associated with the sex act. And yes, oral sex is sex. You hear a lot of younger kids saying, well, we didn't have penetrating sex. We just had oral sex. We haven't had sex yet. No, you've had sex. You've had sex if you've had oral sex. Okay. What is oral sex? Cunnilingus is stimulation of the female genitals using the tongue or the lip. It requires good technique, whether you are giving or receiving, says the sex relation expert. The key is that both partners are completely relaxed, so no one is worrying or feeling insecure, and you can both get lost in the moment. I mean, that's really the best way. I think that's a good phrase for how you can have a good sex. Lost in the moment, whereas you're, you know, all you're thinking about is pleasure and how it feels and how it feels for him to hold you and kiss you, and it's, you're lost in the moment. So that's why sex is so good. Okay, how to perform it. Knight recommends the following 7 key steps to helping your partner reach clitoral nirvana. I've been there. I've been to clitoral nirvana. It's pretty nice. Okay, so start slowly. Most people enjoy oral sex, that enjoy oral sex won't want to go from zero to oral sex in 30 seconds. So yeah, it takes time. It does take some time. Take your time and ease into it. Do other things you know they love. Use your hands, mouth, all over the body, which will nicely foreshadow what is to come. When the recipient is good and excited, head south. Get the lay of the land. Number 2. Most of the attention with oral sex is on the clitoris, but every woman is different, and there may be other parts of her that will take oral sex from an everyday to an out-of-this-world experience. Okay, number 3. Flatten your tongue. They said this in the other article. Remember, many people have sensitive clitorises, so don't go too heavy. That's the other thing you see in these porn flicks, is the guy just flitting his tongue all over the place, really radically and hard. That's not going to do it. That is not going to do it. That's all for the cameras. That's all to get you excited because you're watching it. That does not get a woman excited. Maybe one or two might like that, but that doesn't work. You have to be very sensitive to that area because it is very sensitive. Like, you can almost hurt somebody if you're flitting your tongue too hard or licking too hard. It can hurt. Literally hurt. Pain. Right? Just like if you're using your penis and you put your penis in before somebody is ready, before someone's vagina has expanded and has produced lubricant, then you can hurt somebody by doing that, putting your penis in like that. So, okay, flatten your tongue. Remember, many people have sensitive clitorises, so don't go too heavy on it. At the start, flatten your tongue and use wide, slow strokes. Wide, slow strokes to explore their inner and outer lips of the vagina and the clitoris. Imagine licking an ice cream cone, right? Start at the perineum and lick up and around the clit and back down the other side, right? So sort of a circular motion. And, you know, guys always get so excited when they see you eat an ice cream cone. You would think they would get this about doing the same thing when they're giving you oral sex, right? Hello? It's the same thing. I mean, our vagina is just kind of an inverted penis, and a penis is an outward vagina. Think of it that way. I remember taking a class where they showed that. Like, they're similar, you know, similar areas on the penis that are also similar areas in the vagina. Inverted penis, outward vagina is a penis. Okay. Number four, experiment with different strokes. In general, it's said women and vulvas having people, why do they keep using that, vulva having people, tend to like firm pressure and repetitive motions. Quick tongue flicks against the clitoris can actually be irritating. Yeah. I just discussed that, right? Don't watch porn, guys. It's not going to get you to be a good lover. The only way you're going to become a good lover is to be a good lover with your partner. Okay. Let's see. Clitoris can actually be irritating, which is a kind of furious oral sex we often see in pornography. If you're not sure, ask your partner to give feedback while you try to do different kinds of strokes. Circular, side to side, up and down. Don't take it personally if they flinch. Like they said, everybody's different, right? Discovering what pleases is often a process of trial and error. So that's what I was saying earlier in the previous part of this podcast, is, you know, you have to try things. You have to talk to each other. You have to communicate. Okay, number five, let your partner guide you. If you've ever seen your partner masturbate, and I said this in the previous part of this podcast, it's a really good idea to watch each other masturbate so that you know what your partner likes. Watch what they're doing to themselves. That's what they like. And then, just like they should watch you, right? You'll have some idea how they like their clitoris to be touched. Ask them to show you now, or you can offer them your hand and ask them to demonstrate the kind of stroking they prefer by placing their hand on top of yours. So that's another good suggestion, you know, just let them guide you. That's kind of a turn on. That's kind of kinky. I like that. Take their hand and put it where you want it to be. Okay. Six, add penetration if they so desire, right? Remember, penetration is always optional, and you should always get consent before penetrating your partner with your fingers or a sex toy. If they've given you the all clear when they're good and excited, add some lubricant to your fingers or toy and gently insert it into their vagina. So you see a lot of guys when they first give oral sex, or you'll see this in porn, where they're just shoving their finger up in there and they're not even asking. Anytime you put your fingers, a sex toy, or your penis into a vagina, you should be asking if that person is ready. Because, again, the vagina has to expand, be open enough for stuff like that to happen. You know, warn them that that's what you're going to do. Tell them that's what the next move is. Or go very slowly and make sure that they're ready for that. And it's never a bad thing to say, is this okay? Whisper it in your ear. Is it okay if I put my fingers inside you? Is it okay if I do this, if I rub that? Or, you know, it's never a bad idea to do that. Okay, so lubricate your fingers and gently insert them into the vagina if you've asked if that's something they want to do. Move them in and out, and using short but firm strokes, and not hard strokes. Don't be pushing really hard. Firm strokes, right? So there's just a slight amount of pressure, right? Put your mouth back on their clitoris and lick while you're penetrating your partner. This won't do it for everyone, but many people love the experience of clitoral stimulation and penetration. So, yeah. So you can do two things at once. You can only use your tongue. Maybe you're just putting your tongue in and out of the vagina. Sometimes that's probably the best way to start out, is to use your tongue first. But then your partner might not like that. Maybe they're grossed out by you putting your tongue. You never know. You have to ask. All right. 7, keep a steady pace. It's just like when you're having sex, you know, a steady pace in and out when you're having sex, penetrating sex. Same thing with oral sex. You want to keep that steady pace, right? As a steady stimulation seems to do the trick, don't stop unless you need to come up for air. You'll see the signs when your partner is nearing orgasm, the moans, their thighs pressing against your head, their body arching, their hands tightening on your head, and they'll usually let you know when to stop. If not, simply ask, do you want me to stop now? Okay, so that was from a urologist and sexual medicine expert, clinical sexologist, and co-founder of Healthy Pleasures for Collective. All right. Try different positions. For women and vulval having people, I'm really getting tired of that, who like to feel in control, this person recommends giving your partner lying on their back while you straddle them. This allows a total contact between the mouth and the clitoris and the vulva, so it offers a very intense level of pleasure. Grab a pillow. The alignment of the hip and the pendulous movements during oral sex is essential to increase pleasure. Feel free to dance and balance your hips on a pillow placed under your lower back. And this will elevate your hips and your vulva. That sometimes can make it a little bit easier for the person who's actually giving oral sex as well. How to receive oral sex as a woman. Many women and vulva having people are nervous about receiving oral sex, which is normal. Getting naked, spreading your legs open, and having someone's face first in your vulva can feel a little intimidating. Or intense. Some people do feel self-conscious about their vulva. You know, some people, you know, they've looked at their vulva and they don't think it's attractive. Sex organs aren't attractive. I don't care what anybody says. They're not attractive. The penis is not an attractive thing. You know, I'm not going to be taking a picture of that and hanging on my wall. Maybe some people do. I don't consider testes attractive. It's all very unattractive down there. So don't feel self-conscious about that. It's not supposed to look pretty. It's supposed to be functional. Sex and our sex organs are meant to make babies. They're not supposed to be attractive. Even your breast, that's for breast milk. It's not supposed to be something that, you know, you're supposed to be messing with so that your partner's more attracted to you. So some people do feel self-conscious about that. There has been a reported rise in rates of labioplasty, which I guess that's, you know, messing with your vagina. Operations to reduce or alter labia, and young people seeking the procedure. Why would you do it when you're young? That was something that was created for people as they got older and maybe needed everything kind of pulled up and to keep from being saggy down there, you know? Okay, the rise could be due to the sexual images that we see and their portrayer or vulvas, suggesting that the vulvas should look a certain way. Everybody's vulva is different. I don't know why anybody thinks that their vulva is going to look like somebody else's vulva. It's everyone's different. Just like every penis is different. No man's penis is going to look like another man's penis. They're all different. Okay. So it's important to remember that vulvas, like penises, come in all shapes and sizes. Everyone is different, and the difference is to be celebrated, not embarrassed. Vulvas, like penises, come in all shapes and sizes. Everyone is different, and the difference is to be celebrated. Calver says many women and vulva-having people have internalized negative messages about their genitals, sex, and pleasure. And I was talking about that earlier. You know, some people have all these ideas in their head, and it makes them nervous during sex because they've been told all these stupid things that aren't true. Okay. Let's see. They may be uncomfortable about receiving oral sex because it puts them in a spotlight, and they feel less in control. I think that has to do with a lot of people when they're having sex. They may feel pressure to perform to please their partner. So they may not be totally honest when they're enjoying something or not enjoying something. So you have to make sure that your partner's comfortable with you so that they can be honest with you. Okay, so they may feel pressure to please their partner, pressure to orgasm, etc. If you want to receive oral sex but feel self-conscious for any reason, getting to know your own body is something that you should do. Think about your relationship with your genitals. What do you feel about your vulva? What do you feel about oral sex and receiving pleasure? When having sex, practice staying in the body and in the present. Focus on the sensation rather than going into the mind and getting lost in thoughts, which cause us to disconnect from our bodies. And deepening upon the thoughts can cause anxiety. Notice what it feels like. Sink in, relax into the feeling. Make the goal to focus on the pleasure rather than the orgasm. And that's what I was saying earlier. You know, just, you know, what they were saying, you know, just let yourself go and be in the moment. Be in the moment. Are you worried about the way you smell? If you're worried about the taste or smell of your vulva, and this is putting you off receiving oral sex, you needn't be. Many women think that their genitals have a particular smell, and this may make them feel unattractive. Your genitals smell good. It smells like genitals. That's it. But that can be what I was saying earlier. Take a shower. Make taking a shower together fun. And then maybe you'll feel a little less, you know, embarrassed about the way it smells. And I mean, cleaning yourself off and cleaning up, both men and women down there before you give oral sex, that's a positive. It's never a negative. But if you don't enjoy oral sex for any reason, tell your partner. If you dislike how your partner is giving oral sex, it doesn't mean there's something wrong or there's something wrong with you because you don't enjoy it. Many women think that their genitals have a particular smell. Okay. Our likes and dislikes may change over time and vary in different situations or contexts. Communicate with a positive focus. Think about what you do enjoy. Be playful and experiment. That's the most important thing. Experiment. You know, you might find out that you like something that no one has ever, this man has never experienced before. So that makes you unique. So he's found something unique about you that he can, you know, give you pleasure. That's a fun thing. Use nonverbal communication too, using your hands or body to indicate what you like. Generally, partners want to know that they're hitting the spot. And good communication is the key. STI risk, we talked about this before. It's not a risk per se, despite what you may have heard. Let's see, workshop. There is a risk of transmission when genitals are involved in sex. So, that includes oral sex, as well as manual stimulation, including hands. You know, there's a chance of spreading it with your hands. If using the same hand or on different genitals, and sex and penis and vagina sex, right? The STIs most commonly passed during oral sex are herpes, gonorrhea, and syphilis. That's scary, right? It's really scary. They said chlamydia, HIV, hepatitis A, B, and C, and genital warts can also be passed on through oral sex, but are less likely to be. To ensure oral sex you're having is safe, use protections like condoms and dental dams. Dental dams are specifically for use during oral sex involving the vulva or the anus. They are in thin sheets of latex or polyurethane, which stretch over the area and acting as a barrier. And oral sex can then be given, received through the dam. And I, you know, oral dams came out, I think, really big during that HIV scare when everybody thought HIV was out there and they still wanted to have sex, so they used oral dams. Let's see, the barrier. It creates a barrier, and it keeps, you know, your mouth is not going to come in contact with their mouth. Your fluids aren't going to, you know, be shared. They are less readily available than condoms, but some sexual health centers will stock them, or you can purchase them online. I've seen them. They're available. When you're buying condoms, they're in that same aisle. As well as using protection, honest communication with your sexual partner is also paramount to keeping everyone safe. They recommend getting an STI test every 6 months or with every new long-term partner. So if you're going to start sex with somebody, go get tested. Both of you need to be tested. And you should probably get tested at the same time so that it's open and honest exchange of information. Because they, you know, doctors can't share medical information with you, so your partner's going to have to share it with you. Please go for a test if you're specifically concerned about a sexual experience you have had, or if a sexual partner has told you they have tested positive for an STI in the past. So, yeah, you have to be really careful and make sure that you're being honest with the people you're having sex with. And STIs are nothing to screw with. You want to make sure that somebody doesn't have one. And they may not even know they have one. They may have ended a relationship with somebody and they're out of it, and they think because they haven't had sex for a certain period of time that they don't have any STIs. But sometimes these diseases take a little while to set in, or they've had symptoms and they didn't know what they were. They just thought it was something else, and they've been dealing with it and not thinking it was an STI. So it's always a good idea before you even kiss somebody sometimes to be like, okay, you don't have anything, do you? Because kissing can transmit this stuff. You know, mononucleosis can be transferred by kissing, and so can STIs, you know, certain STIs. So, yeah, you want to be really careful about who you're kissing, who you're touching. I mean, we all should have learned that through the pandemic, that you have to go get tested. But if you know that you're going to start having sex with somebody, that's a really good time to go get tested. And a lot of people work at jobs where they're tested for that kind of stuff too. So sometimes you can just say, hey, have you gotten tested at your job? I used to work in a hospital for a little while. We were constantly getting tested for stuff, constantly getting vaccines. But I just don't think it's a very bad idea to go to like a Planned Parenthood together and you both get tested. And you know, go in there and tell them, we want to get tested for STIs because we're starting a sexual relationship. We're going to become intimate and we want to make sure that neither one of us has any diseases that are going to pass sexually or orally. It's not a bad idea to get a test. And trust me, Planned Parenthood will be happy to do that for you. Now, you know, if you don't have insurance, you're going to have to pay cash for the test, but most Planned Parenthoods are government funded, so they will accept everything from your work and health insurance to assistant medical insurance. If people are on assistance, they'll accept that as well. So, yeah, it's never a bad idea to go get tested. And I was reading an article the other day about a couple who had met, married, and were having a kid, and then that's when they found out, when they were having a kid, that they were closely related. So apparently someone's father had fooled around with several different women in the same area, and this guy and this man and this woman were married and having a kid, and then found out they were related. Like, they were cousins. Because, of course, it was with different women. But, so that's the other thing, that I don't understand why people don't get tested and don't get blood work done before they start having sex, because that's another thing that can happen. You can end up having a child that will have, you know, not only birth defects, but might end up having diseases because you're closely related. So it's always a good idea to get a blood test as well, because you can get pregnant when you start having kids. Or when you start having sex, excuse me, when you start having sex. So it's probably a good idea to get your blood test done too, and make sure that you're not closely related, so that if you do for some reason get pregnant and want to keep the child, they're not going to come out messed up because you guys didn't know that you were closely related, because some guy was flitting himself around town sleeping with everybody, or vice versa, you know? So, yeah, so definitely get tested for a blood test, and get tested for any kind of diseases that you have before you even start to have sex. And, you know, people say, well, that's not very romantic. No, it's not romantic. It's smart. It's smart to make sure that that stuff isn't going to be happening to you. Because if you get sexually transmitted diseases and you don't take care of them soon enough because you didn't know what they were, you can die from that stuff. And people forget that STIs are deadly if they go too far. If you don't get the treatment that you're supposed to get up front, it's a lot harder to get rid of them. And it's painful sometimes. If I remember right, they can give painful shots and painful treatments to get rid of this stuff. So it's better to just catch it either before you're going to get it, by taking these tests and making sure your partner doesn't have it. But then, like I always tell people, you don't know where you're having sex with somebody, right? Married, not married, whatever. You don't know where your husband or the person that you're dating and having sex with, you don't know where they're going, or vice versa, the women are going. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know if they're cheating on you. You don't know if they're having threesomes when you're not around. You have no idea. And people have been cheated on all the time, and they didn't know it. They didn't even see it coming. Well, you know, that's when you can get an STI from your partner. You're thinking you're monogamous, but no, he's off, you know, having quickies with somebody at work. You never know. That's why I always encourage people to continually get tested on a regular basis. And I always encourage people to wear condoms, or insist that their partner wears a condom. Because if they're off with somebody else, or they just had a little fling on the weekend or whatever, that can endanger your life. Because you can get a sexually transmitted disease like HIV. You know, and that can change your whole world, because you didn't take that one step or that one precaution to make sure that your partner wasn't giving you some sort of a disease. And unfortunately, that happens in marriages as well. You know, you have to take care of you, you know, and hopefully you can trust your partner. But that's why there's such a high divorce rate, because most people can't be trusted. 50% divorce rate. So what does that mean? 50% of the people who are married can actually trust their partner, maybe. So be very careful about what you're doing. Oral sex, penetration sex, any kind of sex, right? Diseases can pop up. But hopefully this has helped people to maybe start a conversation about oral sex and maybe talk to each other a little bit more about oral sex. If you've got questions or you would like to do a future podcast with me, you think it would be an interesting thing to do, where we do like a dual podcast, let me know.